John Hovind joins us, host of Sirius XM, and he's also got the Kings of the podcast. John, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks for being with us. And let's start with the fact, John, have we got a labor problem really brewing here in the NHL, or is this something that's going to quickly get pushed under the rug and so life can return to normal here in the NHL and they can get going as ASAP?
Well, first off, Raj, thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you. I haven't chatted with you since the playoffs over the summer, which sounds weird enough in and of itself. But to your questions, yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that it will be cleared up rather quickly. I don't think this is going to be something that's going to drag on. Both sides recognize that they need to get after it and they need to reach some conclusions soon. However, there is a labor issue here. This is, you know, the players came to the table quietly and you know, we're willing to do a new CBA and do an extension in order to get the return to play going and get everything ironed out earlier this year. And now the NHL management, you know, owners and whatnot are back with hat in hand asking for some further concessions. So the one good thing, though, really would be the fact that they're looking at deferred salaries more than asking the players to take a haircut. So as people here in the States know, that was a real bone of contention for Major League Baseball players. You know, they did not want to take any sort of prorated salary. So if we can get this thing ironed out and maybe defer some of this money until the out years, new TV contract kicks in, revenue picks back up, that would be certainly helpful to the owners. So looking for something to get handled here rather quickly.
Everyone feels that way and is hopeful without question. And we shall see. Lots of work to do over the weekend, but I suspect they will get it straightened out. But John, here we sit. It is November the 21st. They are still kind of, you know, hoping for January the 1st. Are we already kind of past the point of no return on that? Or is it just a case that, look, if they can wrap this up in another week, as long as they do it before the end of November, I suppose they could start January 1st. But my goodness, there are a lot of moving parts to start a season.
Yeah, I think January 1st is probably, you know, off the table at this particular moment. I mean, they can talk as optimistically as they want to publicly, but, you know, this is a league that has players spread all across the world. So in order to get some of the travel issues behind them and the quarantine that will be necessary, regardless of what's happening with the Canadian border, specifically just to all the different markets and for training camp to open up, you're going to need at least a three-week notice. That if those teams are then going to want to have a two-week training camp at a minimum, plus you have the extra week that the seven teams that didn't participate in the playoffs that they've been, you know, promised, and add to that a Christmas break, people will want to be home with their families and whatnot, spend some time away from the rink. So, you know, you figure the league's going to be shut down there for at least 3 or 4 days. I think January 1st is a little aggressive at this particular moment, unless they were to announce something here in the next 24 to 48 hours. But you know what? That's perfectly fine with me. We have the World Junior Championships coming up, which is by far the greatest tournament in all of hockey and an opportunity for everybody to watch the next wave of NHL stars. So I've been lobbying now for a couple of weeks. I think Bettman might have blocked my text messages. I've been lobbying to start the NHL up on January 10th. Let the world of hockey focus on one thing through the end of, January 5th or 6th there. Focus on the World Juniors, which is really just such a great tournament, and all hockey fans in every market should be paying attention to.
I'll agree with that. I'm a big fan of the tournament. But another factor, I guess, too, though, John, is you try to find out what the overall game plan is for the NHL. And the two leagues operate separately. However, there's no question the seasons kind of run hand in hand. So the NBA decides to go December the 22nd and make sure the thing is finished by, I believe, July 25th. Something like that is the last proposed day of the NBA final. And the rationale is simple. And bear with me for a second if I quickly just run down the whys. They want to play as many regular season games as possible. Okay, well, you better start quick. Mm-hmm. You want to finish before the Olympics start for TV and your players, right? But mostly for TV. You can't go up against the Olympics on television as a product like you did last summer when nobody was watching anything else. Okay, makes sense. Mm-hmm. You also look at they expect that by then some fans in the United States may get back, so it won't be a full season with no fans in the stands in south of the border. So there's more reasons, but I won't go into them all, but it does make sense. There's a logic to it. But when I look at the NHL, and then as soon as the NBA says that, they immediately go from, you know, people are talking maybe February back to January the 1st. It leads me to believe as to why. Because, John, one of the things in particular with the NHL is this is such a gate-driven league, as we know. And the number of fans that are going to be available, or allowed, I should say, not available, allowed to go into NHL games January to, well, who knows how long, but certainly not by January the 1st. So what is their rush? I know they also want to finish before the Olympics for TV product, but is the NHL not more inclined to do a 48 to 56 game season and not be as concerned about starting quickly? And the later you start, doesn't that open the door for more games in front of paid spectators?
Well, you were on the right track up until the very last point. No, the later that you open does not really allow for more fans to be in the building. But the main difference between the NHL and the NBA is that they are a gate-driven league, like you talked about. So from an NHL perspective, I don't think they're really, to be honest, I don't think they're in any particular hurry to get the league started as quickly as possible. I think that, you know, back of the napkin, here's how you draw this thing up. You say you need to be finished by about July 15th. Because of the Olympics, as you mentioned. So then you just work backwards from there. They need a minimum, I think it's 48, it might be 50 at the most. You need a minimum of 48 to 50 games to be played in the regular season in order to fulfill the TV contract, which they desperately want to get out from underneath so that they can then start the new TV contract, which, of course, they believe is going to drive additional revenue. We've seen sports rights fees go up significantly, whether you're talking about UFC or any of the other sports, over the last couple of years. So the NHL is really hoping to cash in on that as well. And in order to do that, they need to fulfill this TV contract, which is why it's absurd if anybody thinks, well, maybe they're just going to cancel the season and start over again in 21-22. Oh, no, they're not. They are determined to find a way to get this season underway. So don't get too caught up in any of that sort of stuff. So, again, you go with July 15th, then you work your way backwards. What's the latest they can start in order to get 48 to 50 games in? And yes, the later they start, the better off it would be for them, because that would be fewer empty arena games. And then maybe hopefully you're getting into that time period in the playoffs where potentially some fans could be in the building, whether it's at, you know, 20 or 40 or even 50% reduced capacity by that point. So, yeah, I don't particularly think that the NHL is as much in a hurry to get going as the NBA was. And then I also just think that you add a layer of complexity in the NHL, because for the NBA, there's one international team, one team in Toronto. They've already relocated it to Florida temporarily. But when you're talking about the NHL, you're talking about, more than just one team. So you're potentially talking about, with the border issues in quarantine, you're potentially talking about an entire division being in Canada. And then what do? Do you divide the season in half? So you only announce the schedule for the first half of the season, hoping that border crossings would be allowed? Or do you go ahead and just go full boat and say, look, we're going to play 48 games, and this is the new division alignment for this particular season, and it's going to be a Canadian-only division for the entire year in the regular season? I think there are a lot of questions beyond just the deferment of salaries that have to be answered here over the next, coming days, coming week, whatever it's going to be, in order for this thing to clear itself up.
Oh, there's lots of questions. You're so right about that. John Hovind is with us from SiriusXM. I'm Roger Lajoie. As we talk about the NHL and the challenges they have ahead to get their season going, I would think, John, and again, we'll see how it shakes down. I don't know why the NHL just wouldn't start the day after the Super Bowl. And you can eliminate your competition with the NFL. You can play more weekend games. The season's going to be shorter, and off you go. We'll see if they can do it. But another wrinkle, another fly in the ointment that has come up, whether it's January 1st or whenever this league starts, is the rising number of cases here in Canada. And I know in the United States, you know, where you are, it has been just terrible, the number of cases. But the biggest city in this country, Toronto, starting on Monday, goes into a lockdown for 28 days. So, you know, the kind of easy solution of a made in Canada result seemed to be another reason to get going right away, combined with the fact that despite the higher numbers in the United States, a lot of state governments in the United States are still allowing people into the stands. Do you think that's another thing that might enter into this and affect the length of time, whether or not we're going to see an opening of the border? Because cases rising in Canada certainly complicate that even more.
Yeah, look, winter certainly doesn't just end when the calendar flips over on January 1st, but there is a harsh part of winter in many, many cities that, you know, once you get into January, now things are starting to warm up a little bit. So to your point, as many of those games as you can delay starting until late January, early February, just a couple of weeks that you buy yourself there really does go a long way to get past this what everybody is hoping is kind of a hot period right now. And I think the other thing that, you know, really you have to give Gary Bettman and his staff a lot of credit for is that they have multiple plans in place and that they're able to pull things off, that things that we don't know that aren't made public, but they're talking about and they're planning, and they're able to pull them off on rather short notice. And I just think about the return to play. Los Angeles was about to become a bubble city. Las Vegas was about to become a bubble city. Both of those two markets had done a tremendous amount of work in order to prepare for that. You don't just pull something like that off in a couple of days or a week. There's a lot of planning that goes into it, and they did a lot of work behind the scenes. And I'd like to believe that right now there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to come up with multiple, you know, plans. When they do return to play, whether it's January 1st or February 1st or whenever it is, when the NHL comes back, are they going to go into modified bubbles? Are they going to go into division bubbles for 10 games to get things started? They've also talked about where they would play in a hybrid system where the schedule would allow them to play for a couple weeks, then have a week off. So there's a lot of different options, I think, that are on the table right now. And again, there's more to work out than just the deferred salaries. But again, I think the framework is already there, as we've talked about. You start sometime in 2021, you play a shortened season, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 games, and then you wrap the whole thing up by July 15th. And then, you know, by then, hopefully we'll be able to have a somewhat normal off season, and then we can return everything to, you know, normal beginning in the fall of 2021 and get back on a regular calendar year where 82 games is the norm again.
Yeah, that's indeed the hope for everything, and not just the NHL, but for everything. So let's hope that's the case. John Hovind is with us from SiriusXM NHL. I'm Roger Lajoie. So, John, we got a couple of minutes. How about the off season that is going upon us here in the NHL? It figures to be relatively short. There are still a lot of players out there, and a lot of it, of course, has to do with the economic uncertainty. Do you think once this is resolved, we have a starting date and things are a bit more definitive, will lead to a few more signings? Or is this going to be a case of there are going to be a lot of players scrambling here looking for jobs? Because one thing that is certain is there will be uncertainty on the economic front.
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit of a mixture of both, and it's going to depend upon which market you're in. First of all, what the NHL does has a trickle-down effect on other leagues. So what's going to happen with the American Hockey League? We know they've tentatively penciled in starting on February 5th, but winter training camp's going to begin. They can't really start before the NHL. They typically come after the NHL. And then you also have to talk about, what about the roster sizes? You know, we saw with Major League Baseball, there was an expansion of roster sizes. And I think potentially there's going to be something similar to that in the National Hockey League, primarily because the OHL is driving a lot of that. So, you know, with the Q already returning and with the Dub having plans to return, but with the OHL and all of their crazy nonsense, there's a possibility that you could see the NHL decide to expand some rosters, also because you're playing a compacted schedule and, you know, injuries could play a factor and, you know, fatigue and things like that. So once you start to then figure out, okay, the rosters are going to be expanded by what's the number? Is it two? Is it four? Is it five? Whatever that number is, it's going to vary by market, because for some teams, they're going to be calling up players that they planned on stashing in the American League this season and probably carrying them on an NHL roster, or players that they planned on returning to junior that they're going to now potentially be carrying on the NHL roster if they get some sort of an exemption, you know, to be able to extend the roster sizes. And so I think once that dust settles, then you'll see some of those fringe bubble players, you know, start to get signed to contracts. And we could see guys that normally wouldn't expect to be in the American League, you know, veteran players that have, you know, 400 to 600 games played, let's say. You could see some of those guys start the year in the American League and they have to find a way to get onto the NHL rosters, you know, due to injury or, you know, trades or other reasons. So I think there's just going to be a lot more roster movement in general, and to borrow your word, a lot more uncertainty than we've ever seen before. And we haven't even yet talked about, you know, the restrictions from a salary cap perspective that some teams have internal, you know, budgets, let alone what the cap restrictions are.
Well, that's the thing, John. And I guess, you know, a final comment from you on that situation, because I still take a look at it and people are still kind of fixated with such and such team still has all this money before the cap. I think the number of teams that are going to the top of the cap in the NHL will be the lowest ever. There are going to be a lot of teams that are just saying, not this year, not at this time. And that makes trying to figure out where players are going to go even that more difficult. You just mentioned it in terms of the quiet team cap that nobody knows about. I'm just suggesting a lot of teams are going to have a cap like that.
Yeah, for sure. I know. I completely agree with you. And so you're going to see a lot of minimum salary type players on NHL rosters in order to keep their budget number, you know, low. And whether that means they're going to promote players from their American League teams that are already on those low contracts, or whether you're going to see guys that normally would cash in on a 1 or 2 year deal with an AAV of, you know, maybe around $2 million, you're going to see guys taking much lower deals. We've already seen some of that happening already, and I know that there are plenty of players out there that are still sitting on the sidelines and waiting for, you know, not only for the phone to ring, but really for a contract to be put in front of them. So I think you're going to see a lot more players on low-end deals this year than we ever have before, and short-term deals as well. It could either be a 1 or a 2 year deal, really for not a lot of money, just because there's not a lot of money in the marketplace at this particular time. Again, back to what we talked about earlier with the NHL being such a gate-driven league, and they're just, you know, the gate receipts aren't there right now.
They aren't. Uncertain times, but we'll see. And I suspect in the next, 48 hours to 72 hours, we'll get more definitive news on which way the NHL is going to go vis-a-vis its schedule and when it starts. Exciting times indeed. John Hovind's great work is at SiriusXM NHL, also on Kings of the Podcast. Joins us on a regular basis here on Sportsnet tonight, which we always appreciate. John, thank you so much.
All right, Raj. Have a great evening. Talk to you soon.